advertising.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going well. How do you identify a Circuit Boy just by looking at them? And even if they are Circuit Boy, who's to say they're not just there for a quiet night in where they don't dance for 9 hours straight?
Well,
do
I mean,
they not have the right to go to a different venue?
Well, it's a door policy. It's like those no shirts, no shoes, no service. You know, mm-hmm. it is, you know, they are enforcing essentially a dress code provision.
Okay.
But what's really sparking a debate in the UK is, you know, circuit gays isn't just gay people who go to circuit parties.
Yeah.
It's this sort of cultural subset. It's like the Bears. You know, when you think of Bears, you usually think of either friendly and cuddly or maybe a little bit gruff but, you know, sweet at heart. You know, there are certain characteristics that you ascribe to a bear. And what they're saying is that a circuit gay is not just where you'll go dancing for 37 hours, but it's also that attitude, that toxic masculinity that seems more pervasive in that group of gay men than other groups of gay men.
Well, an easier policy would just basically be rudeness is not tolerated. If you come in and if you're crass with the wait staff, you will be kicked out. Because you can do that. Like, turning people away at the door based on what you're assuming about them, based on their appearance, there's probably a civil lawsuit waiting if you do that. Whereas if you let them in and just bar them for life because they're complete monsters to the staff and the other people there, that's perfectly legal. You can eject somebody from your club for basically being an intolerable attendee. Like, it's very, very different. And just because, I don't know, like, you could have somebody who shows up who's clean cut and looks the part, but they're just, I don't know, there's somebody who works at a bank and they have to look a certain way during their day job. So when they're out at night, they still look that certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just want to go to a club. And I mean, like I said earlier, the last thing is, if you want to attract a certain crowd or not attract a certain crowd, you can do a lot in terms of how you set up your club. I mean, that's how Gordon Ramsay started his career with his TV shows. If you want a certain clientele coming in, then you decorate a certain way. You know, you get a certain chef, you know. In this case, it'd be you get a certain DJ. You play certain kinds of music. You decorate it a certain way. You do the lighting a certain way. The wait staff a certain way. The what you have available behind the bar, you make those choices as well. A lot of it really comes down to how you build your establishment to attract the kind of crowd that you want. And just building a club that looks like a circuit club with a stereotypical circuit club name, with posters with circuit club boys on it, and then saying no circuit club boys allowed,
but
it just feels so short-sighted.
I would push back a little bit here, because what I think the issue that they're trying to address is, whenever there is a gay rave, this group of gay men go in volume. They are they are arrogant. They're aggressive to people that they don't feel that they should give respect to. And it's so pervasive that it's a cultural stereotype. Like, this isn't just one or two incidences. It has bled into that sort of cultural awareness of queer folks. Now, just if you're maybe not a muscular white man in his 20s and you want to go to that, you know, why isn't there one of those events for you? Is having arrogant gay white men a prerequisite of having a circuit party?
I mean, I would take whiteness out of the picture, because I've been to some of these events, not because I have never, ever, ever been a muscular oily boy. I just really like to dance and I like music. So I went to some of these events and just was alienated, and I didn't care. I just danced in the corner on my own. I would say actually the diversity in this crowd is about base rate. So like, if you're in a community that's like 5% Asian, you're probably going to get 5% Asian in the crowd. That aside, it is the attitude. It's the arrogance. It's also, you know, the young and beautiful and muscular. I am the guy who's on the poster. That's really what it comes down to. Fair enough. People may want to go to events and not have to deal with that. But I mean, how do you?
I think it was actually quite clever in one way.
Okay, what did they do that's clever?
I think first of all, I think they should have said that before. Like, they told people by telling everyone who'd bought a ticket, which I feel is a little mean because they've already bought the ticket.
Yeah, they were.
You know what I mean? I was like, unless you're offering refunds, you know, bit of a mean move. But if they'd have told people ahead of time, I think the self-censorship would have knocked out a lot of those people. You know,
not calling it Adonis.
Well, I don't know if they can change the name of their club just for this one event. But, you know, saying that, you know, we don't want arrogant, self-righteous circus gays ruining the party. You know, if I was a circus gay that was, you know, I'd be like, oh, how dare you? You know, do you not want me there? Fine, I won't go. Which I think is the point. you know what I mean? I feel like this move would well have self-censored a lot of people from attending. I don't know. It's really caused... a stir in the gay community in the UK.
I have no problem at all with building alternative spaces, but there's just a right way and a wrong way to go about doing it. I think they just did bad marketing, bad publicity, I guess you could say. Like, they had good intentions, and they just went about it in the worstiest way.
The worstiest.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. No.
That
it was.
You, didn't it?
It did. The worstiest. Okay. Yeah. That threw me for a loop for a second. Now there was a song I wanted to play. We're not going to play it because it has an explicit rating, and but it is fantastic. And there is my sister's boyfriend dropped this into the playlist in the car, wondering if I would notice it. Unfortunately, we consume a lot of gay media content. And I was aware of this song in advance, but Dixon Dallas's track, Good Looking, sounds like every other modern pop country song you're going to hear. But it is very gay. Very, very, like unapologetically. So Dixon Dallas, Good Looking. We're not going to play it now. It has an explicit tag, just so that folks are aware. But
you're just encouraging our listening audience to look it up on their own time.
Our listening audience who are adults, and you know, we can't play it because there is a chance that there are children listening.
Okay.
And, you know, and we assume they are. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. There's probably someone in the car. You know, we can probably, you know, you probably can't hear us very well because the kids are shouting at each other in the back of the car. You know, and that happens. So we're not going to play that song because, you know, we don't want to enforce it on people. Plus the rules. But it is a great song. It is definitely out there. He was looking for my reaction. I had no reaction because, of course, I knew the song. But I think folks would be highly amused by this particular track. If anyone's been on TikTok and on, especially on Gay Talk, you would have seen this a while ago before as well. Are you on Threads?
No.
Oh.
Is that a thing for clothes? I don't know what this is.
Oh, okay. You're not. I don't know what the phrase. I don't know the terminology yet. Is it weaving? Is it threading? Is it pulling? I don't know. So Instagram released their new Twitter alternative.
Okay.
And in exchange for all of your data and privacy, they are offering a what's ostensibly, hopefully, a safer, more balanced platform without Elon Musk in charge.
Okay.
It looks very much like Twitter. But I bring this up because there was a study in the UK that came out recently that found that 60%, 60, of the people who responded to this study, and there were about 2,000 people surveyed, have just given up using social media in the UK. They're like, it's just so... You know, Twitter has massively scaled back its staff who do any kind of monitoring of hate speech or anything like that. Even the kind of things that are very much illegal are not being particularly monitored. So in the UK, they found in the study that 60% of LGBT folks are just leaving social media platforms. They just it's
That's
just not
probably
worth
best
being
for everyone in the end.
Yeah, yeah. Why would I be in a space where people are yelling abuse at me? Like, it just doesn't make any sense. So, yeah, I'm curious if Threads, which is ostensibly going to be a nicer platform, you know, if Zuckerberg is up to the task of keeping people well behaved, but we'll see. There are so many controls on Facebook and Instagram already, mm-hmm. you know, that limit what can and cannot be posted, and so much automation and stuff that mm-hmm. You know, I'm hopeful for where Threads goes in terms of being a space that's maybe a little bit more, a little less hate crimey than maybe Twitter is.
Well, that's a separate conversation. Let's go to the censorship on social media. I think that is such a huge topic that is hard to summarize in under 20 minutes.
Yeah. Well, actually, yeah, you're right. Maybe we won't even summarize it in 2 seconds. We will be keeping an eye on that story as we mm-hmm. go along. But will the gays go to the Threads? That is the question. Actually, funny story. As you know, Jake is now, my partner Jake is now knitting
yes.
is the one. And all his talk of Threads keeps reminding me of the fact that he's knitting. And I feel like knitting, there's a lot of gay guys I know who knit.
Mm-hmm. I've seen a crochet hook in your home as well, but I think he's just using that for fixing errors. Those who knit will understand exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah.
And those who don't are like, wow, this conversation's taken a turn. All right. We're going to be playing the brand new track by the incredibly talented Jarlie Wolf. This is Blood Orange. And we will be back just... Actually, let me just cue it up. I haven't got it ready yet. That's my fault. This is Blood Orange by Jarlie Wolf. And we will be back just after this.
I've got a blood orange, yeah, peeled inside my mind. I've got a little window, 'cause you're f***ed up my life.
Hello and welcome back to Canqueer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
Hello, I am Sebastian.
And so let's do a nice quick roundup of some more gay news.
News about LGBT stuff, not news about gay men who are good. Not good gay news, but good.
Well, I mean, some of them are the good gays.
Okay.
Anyway, let's start off with the first LGBTQ openly gay head of, well, it says first gay EU head of state, which I believe is actually incorrect. Because I was thinking of the Prime Minister of Ireland. But I don't
think Iceland as well.
He's not a head of state.
Oh.
Yeah. See? Yeah. So anyway, the president of Latvia, who's just been sworn in, Edgars Rinkevičs, has just been elected. He is openly gay, and he has been sworn in as the first openly gay EU head of state. This is great news. There have been other openly gay sort of head of state adjacent,
high ranking individual.
Exactly. Yeah. I believe the prime minister, the people in Ireland are going to hate me for this, but they have a specific term for their prime minister. I am blanking on what it's called. But then I believe you're right. I think it was Sweden or Norway had one as well.
Iceland.
No, you're right. It is Iceland.
Because they're not EU. If the EU were an onion, right?
Yeah.
And you have rings on the EU membership. It's really weird because Canada is actually close to the center, but we're not in the EU. But the relationship we have with the EU, we're EU adjacent. Like, Canada has better EU relations than some European countries do that are not in the EU. And Iceland is also kind of more or less in the same ring, where they're not in the EU, but they have so many good relations with the EU. They're basically EU. It's a thing. But there's also an ocean separating them. So, I mean, they're physically not EU either. It's weird. And isn't the Isle of Man not in the EU?
The Isle of Man is in, well, it's not anymore because it was in Britain.
Yeah. Okay. True. Well, but then it was never part of the UK. I don't know. Isle of Man is this weird middle ground. Anyway, it doesn't matter. We're talking about Latvia.
Yeah, let's talk about Greece. Also in good news this week, the Prime Minister of Greece, Kyriakos Mitsotakis, and my apologies for how I'm pronouncing everybody's names, he essentially told Bloomberg Television in Athens recently, very recently, that same-sex marriage will happen at some point. It's part of their strategy. He recently got re-elected in the snap election. He'd ordered a commission to work on improving LGBTQ rights across Greece. They have already lifted the ban on gay men donating blood, and also banned intersex genital mutilation of children. For a long time, people would do corrective surgeries. They would often also get it wrong. It has been banned in Canada for quite a while. Greece rolled it out, and it looks like they're looking at rolling out gay marriage. The left-wing opposition party had introduced legislation in 2022, but, you know, time ran out. They went into an election. Nobody particularly won, but it seems like all of the parties elected are actually on board with a gay marriage in Greece. So this is great news. A small little story. 1 million people went to Cologne in Germany. Not like fragrances. They went to the Pride Parade in Cologne. It was a huge number. Huge number of people showing up for the German Pride, the German city of Cologne's Pride Parade. So that was pretty exciting news. There was some backlash to librarians in Cork, Ireland.
Of course.
And thousands of people showed up in a solidarity march for these Cork librarians. There had been some backlash to some books that they had. Obviously, because book burning is now the latest cause du jour.
I mean, I'm all for questioning whether or not a given book belongs in the section that it's in, because there have been a few times where there's a book and it's filed under ages 3 to 8, and then you look at the details and you're like, ooh, that should be like 8 to 12. But I don't think it should be removed. I think it should be moved. There's a difference between those two sentiments. I really do think that just put it to a different part of the library. That's it. That's all you need to do. You don't need to get rid of it. But anyway,
Further evidence that these people who are like, oh, that's terrible, burn it, they are so far in the minority that people are getting up and showing up in volume, being like, this is outrageous.
There has been a lot of questions around that sort of thing with people questioning, like, if an author says this is targeted for ages 3 to 8. I don't know why I'm stuck on 3 to 8. I'm just saying 3 to 8.
That's quite a range.
It is 3 to 6. There you go.
We'll stick with it
just because the author intended that. You could get child psychologists in to be like, no, they're not ready for this yet, or this is way too low. Like this could be higher, this could be lower. I don't know. It's just we're sort of taking the author's word for it that is an appropriate audience for that.
I don't know. Maybe Book Talk can come and update us here, but I suspect that publishers...
That's a different conversation.
Publishers whose day job is this have a very good idea about how to age books. You know, they've been doing this a long time. Like, it is literally their job. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like... Yeah, I don't know. I put too much faith in the system, but that's where we're at. I think it's good news. I think this is hilarious news. Bristol Pride has effectively banned politicians.
Oh, that's the best idea.
I know, it's a great idea. They've effectively banned political parties. So for example, Vancouver Pride, where they said we had to... Prides are a fun time, but they happen because, in the 80s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, you know, going to a pride meant having your head smashed in by a cop who was homophobic. It meant having far-right idiots yelling at you. It meant, it meant going through abuse. That space got carved out in blood in many cases. So you don't have a right to show up with your favorite green bank or your political party who 20 years ago were nowhere to be seen. It is a space made available from decades of LGBT activism.
For me, it's not even about the history. It's the fact that every pride parade is a cynical photo shoot for every politician and bank and corporation out there. Like it's more than a photo shoot. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Stay so home. Bristol Pride has made them issue kind of promises. So, if you're going to march in this parade, you need to be doing something of value to our community. If we make space for you, how are you making that space for us? They were like, you know what? You keep saying promises and you're not following through. You're no longer invited. Now, this might be a bit of a shock to people, politicians not following through on promises. But the Bristol Pride has drawn a line in the sand and gone, no, none of you can come. Nobody. So that'll be I want to go to Bristol Pride now. The idea of a politician-free zone.
I would be fine if the Pride Parade was nothing but PFLAG and the local lesbian roller derby league on their roller skates.
And
if
the Dykes and Bikes. The Dykes and Bikes are always fun.
Just those two groups and parade done, I would be fine with that. it really does come down to, I don't know, PFLAG... And then lesbians on roller skates. You got your political message, and then you got your fun, and then you go have an iced tea. That's the perfect Pride Parade to me. But I mean, I'm also, I don't like parades because they last for hours, and I just want to go home.
Long. I get it. It's about wanting to come out and represent and what have you. I will wrap up with maybe some not so great news. Tipsilly Pride in Georgia got overrun by anti-gay. They are being referred to in various media outlets as allegedly neo-Nazis. This has happened in Georgia, in Eastern Europe.
Georgia, a predominantly Muslim country. I think neo-Nazi is a misapplication of the term neo-Nazi.
Sorry. White supremacists.
In Georgia, a predominantly Caucasian country. Caucasians being non-white, of the non-European. Caucasus.
Yeah.
Yeah, of the Caucasus. Yeah, yeah, like, yeah, yeah, again, yeah. Again, misapplication.
Anyway, so they are...
bigots,
they,
for sure. Yeah, some yeah, flavor of bigot. Some I'm flavor gonna, of bigot. I'm not going to deny that. It's just
five spice mix of bigotry.
Yeah.
Anyway, they broke through the security lines. Police struggled to contain them, and the Pride events actually had to get evacuated. Some people were beaten up. Some of the bar was apparently ransacked. Pride flags set on fire. It was a whole ordeal. The organizers of the Pride organization, I'm struggling with that city name, they have blamed the Minister of the Interior, saying that he colluded with them and didn't appropriately police the area, knowing wow. that there were threats. Mm-hmm. So how much truth is in that remains to be seen. The Pride events essentially got cancelled as a result. In the same neighborhood, Russia has issued a directive to all of the health clinics to now provide support for anyone struggling with the mental disorder of homosexuality.
Oh, my God.
I know. So the 1950s have called, and Russia is reintroducing. And by the way, Russia, the World Health Organization removed homosexuality from its diagnostic DSM. What is that? Diagnostic
medical... Oh, yeah,
medical,
a long time ago. Yeah,
diagnostic...
I just had an inkling, manual. And I was right. Georgia is predominantly Orthodox Christian. It's Chechnya, the neighboring country, that's predominantly...
I thought you were off when... But Muslim. I was like, maybe. Anyway, yeah. They
But still, it was at a Pride event. Call it homophobia. Just call it homophobia.
So the Russians removed homosexuality as an illness in 1999, 9 years after, sorry, 8 years after the World Health Organization removed it. Mm-hmm. This is steps backwards for Russia. Yeah. Not that we are expecting much out of them. But
you know, the number one reason why they removed it actually was there's no treatment. It just is what it is.
Yeah, funny that. Okay, well, we have run out of time. We'll be playing out with You Won't Be Punished for the Lie by Stuart Leger. I have been Luke Smith.
And I've been Sebastian. And thank you for listening.
I thought you would take longer to say thank you. I'm not quite ready. All right, we'll be back next week. Thanks for listening.
Well, I do not sleep at all at night. Well, I am still holding on at night. It's not.